Welcome back. I'm Michael. You are listening to The Michael Dresser Show. The journey from fear to love is shorter than you think. 2 months shy of her third birthday, Susan Gowdy was sexually abused by a 16-year-old neighbor. Although she unconsciously buried this horrific experience deep within herself, the deep-rooted fear that resulted continued to influence her decisions, happiness, relationships, health, and more for many, many years. And we're going to talk about fear. And Susan, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Fear, hi, and I'm glad you're here, because there's so many people out there that are frightened to death, and they think the big problem, Susan, is they don't know they're afraid. And when we say that, it's those buried things. It's like you did. You buried it. Were you even aware of it, or were you just reacting to anything that looks similar in your life from that point on?
I don't think I was really aware of it. I mean, I do remember when I was six, I started to talk about it to anyone who would listen to me. So I was pretty vocal, but that's not always what happens with, you know, someone in that situation. And then as I went on with my life, of course, I had no idea why I had created kind of OCD type behaviors. I had a lot of rituals, a lot of things I had to do. And I was afraid just based on the appearance of a person. That would scare me. And if it was nighttime or those, I was very afraid of the dark. And I didn't really understand where that was coming from until I was older.
Now, by the way, when we go through this, and I have to say I would venture to guess that's probably 120% of the entire population. Not to that degree, but they'll have something from the past that they're not really recognizing that's what's triggering their reactions right now. And they live in this sense of fear, and they don't know where it came from.
Exactly. I think almost all of us have something, because, I mean, we live, you know, a lifetime. So there's something within your life, somewhere along the line, there's going to be something that you're going to be in fear about and not consciously aware of it.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, consciously aware of it. Now, the journey from fear to love, what did that mean for you? Where did you get the awakening? Where was it that you caught it and understood the dynamic of what was occurring with you?
Well, when I was 19 and I was in college, I was taking classes in social work and psychology. And I was taking, I remember specifically, I was taking a class and they were talking about flashbacks. And that triggered something for me, because I would have flashbacks. I had a reoccurring nightmare all my life up until I cleared this out of my subconscious, what had happened to me when I was very young. And the flashback, that class, that woke me up. And then I saw a chiropractor. I was in a lot of pain and really uncomfortable. My back hurt so bad. I thought my whole body hurt. I thought maybe I was dying or something. I had no idea. And he told me I had the back of a 50-year-old woman, and I was 19. Mm-hmm. And at 21, I moved to Arizona, and I started working with a practitioner, a chiropractor, who used a technique called BEST, which is called bioenergetic synchronization technique. And it was through that technique, probably a little bit after 21, my oldest was 2.5, so I was about 25. And I remember I went in to see him. I'd been seeing him for, you know, a few years. But this particular day, I was having sinus infection after sinus infection after sinus infection for a long time. And I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I went in and saw him. And that's when what was really underneath everything, this trauma from when I was very young, had been buried. And my daughter being 2.5, had triggered that memory for me. And that was the day that we cleared out a lot of gunk that had been stuck there for years in my subconscious. And I never had another sinus infection in my life.
That's great. It's interesting how your mind controls your body.
Exactly. The emotional is always tied to anything going on with you physically.
And it's to break the tie. When you began to realize what was going on, where in your studies did you get that cathartic moment where you realized that that's it? That's the thing, the missing link to break the chain. Where was that for you?
In college, when I was taking the courses I was taking, and I realized that nightmare that kept coming back, and I started to put the pieces together that the nightmare was actually my perpetrator in the nightmare that was showing up like nightly. Every night I would wake up in a, with a blood-curdling scream. And that was at that, that's when I, with the physical pain, it got to be too much. That's when I realized I need to do something about this.
You know, it's
and I tied the two.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how many of us, and I say us, I'm a human being, how many of us live in fear? And that fear, you said it's unconscious, you're not even aware of what stimulated it, but something that's recognizable out there, it's the same thing as if you walk into a room and there's somebody in that room, you've never seen them before in your entire life. For some reason, you don't like them, or you do like them. There is that something deep inside of you that recognize something. You can't put your finger on it, you don't know what it is, but you're reacting to things and there's no reason, no conscious reason at the moment for that reaction.
Yeah, I think it's an energetic, like we have this protection around us, so that that field, that energy field. And if you've had a bad experience like I did, because that happened frequently, I remember leaving a grocery store in Arizona and it was dark and going to get into my car and some man who must have looked similar or whatever and sounded similar saying things to me, you know, hooting and hollering. And I got extremely nervous and was, you know, could hardly breathe and hurrying up to get into my car and didn't, at that time I was younger and really didn't know what is this? Where, why am I so, I had no idea where that fear came from. But yeah, I definitely had that where I would back away because I, and I didn't know why.
You know, and to add to that, I think it's a shame today that if you go to the media and you listen, look at all these messages that are going on and you just, you know, you become victim to the messages, and those messages in and of themselves trigger the initial fears that you have inside of you. You can't put your finger on what it is, but you get scared and you want to have somebody protect you. So you may look to the government. I mean, all of these things are going on constantly. It's not just the person, societies are burdened by the same thing.
Yeah, and you also will reach out and hold on to whatever you remember where you felt comfortable as a child. So some people will, maybe that was when they were sick and their mom took really good care of them. So they may become a person who's constantly getting sick because they're looking for that comfort and that, you know, reassurance that everything's okay. We create all kinds of things.
Sure, the attention.
Yeah.
And
the drama.
Yeah, but and there's so many people who don't get attention, and they live their life without attention. And some of them get extreme, and they go out and kill somebody. Some of them, they get involved in their own health, their own mental instability, and for as long as they're sick, they're getting attention. They start to feel good. People walk away from them, so they get sick again. You know, it's an interesting cycle that we go through.
Yeah, we get stuck in that cycle, too. And so, you know, for me, it was when I got so sick and tired of being sick and tired that was when I wanted out. I wanted this to be done. And it often is a crisis of that kind that will have to take place before the person decides they want to get better, a heart attack or, you know, diabetes or something occurs and they don't like how they feel. So they'll do a little more research and try to figure out how they can get healthy and well.
Sure. Look at organizations like Al-Anon or Alcoholics Anonymous. It seems as though anybody that's involved in it, they've helped a lot of people, so please, we'll give them that. But you have to, it's almost as if you have to go to the bottom, and where there's nothing, no farther you can go down, and then all of a sudden, you start to see your way and come up. And it's a shame because we don't have to hit bottom to be able to realize that there's a better life out there.
Well, and that's what I write about in my book. So that's what I'm trying to help people with because, I mean, that's my belief. You don't have to hit bottom to start taking more control of your life now and to decide that I want to have this kind of life, a wonderful, beautiful life, and I want to create that. And I'm trying to empower people so that they know you don't have to hit rock bottom before you do that. And wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to go through a crisis? And like you said, though, everybody's experienced some kind of a fear. So if they could turn it around quicker before it turns into a crisis and they end up becoming sick because of that buried fear, wouldn't that be lovely if they could just
sure.
do that instead?
Oh, I completely agree. And that's why I like people like yourself. You've been there, quote unquote, and done that. It did not come out of academia. You lived that life and then you got, you know, and then you tied your educational background behind it once you did it, done it. So yours is coming from quote-unquote street smarts. You've been there, you've seen it, you've experienced it, you've done it, and then tie the solutions into it to fix it.
Exactly. I even went on to work at Child Protective Services when I was in Phoenix, and I was much younger and still hadn't had the experience with, because I didn't have a 2.5-year-old. But I did, I put myself in that position, and I think I did it on purpose because I was on a healing path and I was searching for answers. And so I was exposing myself to situations similar to what I had been through. When that happened to me, there was no Child Protective Services in Chicago. It might have been a blessing, though, because I think sometimes you have to be so careful that you don't turn your child into a victim. And if I was allowed to talk about it in my home, but I didn't cross the line to become becoming a victim. I was allowed to speak, but it didn't, you know, take over our lives.
So I really, when we come down to it, it's the difference between living a conscious life or an unconscious life. And we have the ability to make the choice if you know that there's a choice.
Exactly. Yes. And living a conscious life will be much more empowering and freeing than not living a conscious life.
Absolutely. No question about it. Because when you really come down to it, the fear can stop so many things. By the way, excuse my voice. I'm fighting the flu right now, and if I get a little squeaky, that's what that is.
But oh, that's okay. We've had weather in Colorado, so okay, probably so, got the same thing going on.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
But when it really comes down to it, it's getting up in the morning and choosing what you want to expect. You get up in the morning and you don't want to face the day. Well, you don't know why you don't want to face the day, but you don't want to face it, and the entire day is like that. Or you know, you've dropped a rock on your toe in the morning. And the entire day is about the pain in your toe, and wonderful things could be going on, but you're not paying attention to it. You're after that pain in your toe.
Yeah, and when you have the power to change your thoughts and change your mind, and that's what you should be doing. And I know it's hard to, you know, focus on every thought you're having, but you can focus on how you're feeling. So that pain in the toe might have got you back, you know, you're in a bad mood now, you feel cruddy. Then you can start going back and looking at, well, where did that come from? What have I been thinking today? And then start changing those thoughts, and you'll start feeling better, taking control in that way.
You know, I remember a great example of this. I don't know if I've ever used it on the air before, but I had two of my dogs I lost about a year and a couple months ago. The one went a month or so after the other one. But there were, for a while, all I could remember was, I remember when I took one in to the vet when they had to put her down, and the technicians came out to meet me in the car. They said, "You want to come out?" I couldn't do it. I could not walk in there. And I remember the look on her face. And it's the same thing about stubbing your toe. For months, I couldn't think of the 10 years that we had together and all the great things that we did. All I could think of was the look on her face when they took her away from me. And that's the same thing. My entire world was wrapped up around that. And I didn't think about all the great things that we did together.
Yeah, and then you lose that, and those are the precious things that you want to remember.
Sure.
But that's somebody passing almost a judgment on you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and when it really comes down to it, it's easier to remember the bad stuff than it is to remember the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I practice things in my daily life, one of the things that I practice is meditation, but my meditation is really simple. It's not something complicated or hard to do. You don't have to, you know, go have someone teach you it. It's just focusing on what you're in appreciation for every day. And that could be something as simple as I have a roof over my head and food on my table, or your pets, your kids, you know, just being wherever you are, just appreciating in the moment what you have. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of things. It just has to be, you're in appreciation, you're in that moment.
Sure. I mean, and realistically, I think that's where it's at. But we're starting to run out of time. Let me ask you the final question. Is there something that I should have asked you that I didn't, that would have brought information up that we, the audience, need to hear?
There's just one thing that I want to say that I think is the most important thing that anyone can do for themselves. And I don't think people think about this, to change their life in a positive way and see quickly they'll see changes. And I think the most important thing is that you need to love yourself first. And I think we forget to do that very often because of our busy lives and our busy schedules. as moms and dads, especially, we're taking care of our children, and we forget to take care of ourselves first. But that self-love is the foundation that you build your life on. And if you don't love yourself first, everything you try to build in your life will eventually crumble anyhow. You've got to give that attention to yourself first.
Susan, is there a website we can find you in the book?
Sure. It's journeyfromfeartolove.com. And it's sold on Amazon and also Barnes & Noble on the website.
Wonderful.
And you can get it as...
Go ahead.
You can get it as an ebook if you want to.
Great. And by the way, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.